Welcome to the Village Celebration Podcast, everyone. I'm Vicki Newton. So glad that you are with us. Coming up in this show, we will talk about the Tubmans. President Barack Obama put the new $20 bill on blast recently. And so the question is, have other African Americans had a place on the nation's money? We will answer that question and explore a controversy involving the $2 bill. And Juneteenth celebrations are in the final planning stages for a number of museums around the country. Brian Rogers of the Mosaic Templars Cultural Center in Little Rock is with us, and he has a preview. Plus, calling all Empire fans, Leah Walker, the mother of Lucius, is staying with him, as you know, and it looks like she's still struggling with some mental health issues. So we will hear from a psychotherapist who sheds some light on the issue of mental illness in the African-American community. But first, Harriet Tubman, one of America's most beloved historical figures, will be the first woman on American currency. Even President Obama is talking about it.
Good evening, everybody. It is an honor to be here at my last, and perhaps the last, White House Correspondents' Day. You all look great. The end of the Republic has never looked better. I do apologize. I know I was a little late tonight. I was running on CPT. Which stands for jokes that white people should not make. Tip for you, Jeff. Anyway, here we are. My eighth and final appearance at this unique event. And I am excited. If this material works well, I'm going to use it at Goldman Sachs next year. Earn me some serious Tubmans. That's right.
So President Obama is saying he's going to earn some serious Tubmans. That was one of his jokes at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, earning some Tubmans. So let's take a look at the Tubmans. Joining us is artist and art instructor Ian Johnson from the University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff to talk about the first money that featured African Americans. Mr. Johnson, thank you so much for joining us for the Village Celebration.
Thank you for the invitation.
Let's talk about African Americans on money. So Harriet Tubman is on the $20 bill, or will be on the $20 bill. Anybody else to hold such an esteemed position?
On a bill or on currency?
On currency.
Yes, as a matter of fact, the first person that is on a U.S. coin is Booker T. Washington. And that coin was designed by Isaac Hathaway, and it was minted from 1946 to 1951. And the second coin to be designed by an African-American, also designed by Isaac Scott Hathaway, is a coin that shows Booker T. Washington and George Washington Carver. It was minted from 1951 to 1954.
So these are coins, and they are, as we can imagine, quite rare.
Right, they are half-dollar coins.
And they were designed by Isaac Hathaway, as you pointed out. Who was Isaac Hathaway?
So Isaac Scott Hathaway was a sculptor, and he introduced ceramics in 1915 to Branch Normal College, which is now known as University of Arkansas at Pine Bluff. And after he introduced ceramics at Pine Bluff, he ended up teaching at Tuskegee in 1937. Prior to that, he had done a lot of busts and masks of prominent African Americans, one of which being Booker T. Washington.
Mm-hmm.
As many people may not know, Booker T. Washington died in 1915, and this coin didn't come about till 1946.
So here we are, centuries after the death of Harriet Tubman, and she was selected by the Treasury Department for a place on the $20 bill. There was some debate, Harriet Tubman on the $10 bill, it seemed, at first. And what happened?
Apparently, from the rise of the Broadway show or the dramatic representation of Hamilton, that rise in popularity sort of shifted people's public opinion from Hamilton to the $20 bill.
With Alexander Hamilton, the first Treasury Secretary, on the $10 bill, he kept his place, and Harriet Tubman is now placed on the $20 bill. You know, there is some controversy about African Americans on money. And John Hanson's name crops up. Who was he, and what is his story? Because I think it's very interesting. It's new to me.
Right. Well, the $2 bill, the controversy is some people say it looks like a person of color on the $2 bill, and some people say that it is John Hanson that is on the back. And John Hanson would have been the president of the Continental Congress.
So we don't know for sure.
That is correct. We do not know for sure, and that's sort of like the controversy.
Right.
That the back of the $2 bill, there is a painting of that imagery that is in the Capitol Rotunda. And the painting that's in the Capitol Rotunda does not have an African-American on it.
Mm-hmm.
So some people say that there's not an African-American on it, and then some people say that there is an African-American on it.
Well, let's just muddy the water a little bit more. Brian Rogers is joining us, and Brian is a historian. Brian, what do you say? Weigh in on this business of John Hanson on the $2 bill, which then will shine more light on this debate about Harriet Tubman being the first African American and the first woman on money.
Well, thanks for having me again. It's really a pleasure to be back. So the John Hanson story is a tale of two people. So there was a John Hanson who was the first president of the Continental Congress in the late 1700s. And then there was a John Hanson who was an African-American man who lived in the 1860s. So a lot of people try to make the argument that John Hanson, the black man who lived in the 1860s, was the same John Hanson who was the first president of the Constitutional Convention. So the problem is that they use a photograph of this black man, John Hanson, and with just a little research, you can know that photography didn't exist until the 1800s. So how could you take a photograph of a man who supposedly lived in the 1700s?
So let's unpack that a little bit more. It is, I'm not going to say common knowledge, because it's not common knowledge, but there is this murmuring that this John Hansen has somehow been cheated out of his proper place in history. And you're saying this is not even true.
No, it's not true. There were two separate and distinct John Hensons. The John Henson who was president of the Constitutional Convention
is a white man.
Was a white man from New Jersey. And then the second John Henson, who was the African American, lived almost 100 years later, mm-hmm. in the 1860s, early 1870s. So the two men can't be the same person.
Wonder how this story started, how they were confused as being the same.
Well, I think the problem is that people tend to do surface level research, and they find something that they find something that confirms something that they want to believe, and instead of continuing to dig a little deeper, they just go with their first answer.
And so do you find that we as a community of Americans who often feels discredited, eliminated, we're more open to these ideas, to these controversies? Does it make us more vulnerable to those?
I think so. And that's sad, because I've said to people on many occasions that African American history is such a wonderful and complex and beautiful thing that there's no need to add to it. So mm-hmm. I think a lot of times people want to add to try to give more credence to African-American history when it doesn't need any more credence. It's enough.
It is enough.
It's part of the fabric of this country. I mean, it's, You think about all the inventions that African Americans have created. You think about all the things that we have done. There's no need to add things that are empirically wrong.
Mm-hmm. And that also, in a way, dilutes and trivializes that which is true.
Yes, because now it leads people to question what mm-hmm. is true. Mm-hmm. So if I'm going around spreading the idea that John Hansen, the first president of the Constitutional Convention, was a black man, mm-hmm. now I take away from the amazing feat that Barack Obama accomplished mm-hmm. by being elected the first black president of the United States. And that was a part of the story, is that Barack Obama was not the first black president of the United States.
Stay with us. We want to talk some more about what some would call an urban legend or a conspiracy. We'll talk more about that, and it involves Abraham Lincoln. Back to Ian Johnson. Mr. Johnson, thank you for bringing this information about Booker T. Washington and George Washington Carver on the coin.
Hello?
And we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Glenn?
Well, you can tell that Chip over there is getting ready for the old family vacation. Yeah. He's pulling out the boat, airing the tents, checking gear, getting everything packed.
Yeah, we're about to head out on our vacation, too.
But you're sitting here drinking tea, surveying your domain from that lawn chair.
Yeah, buddy.
So, are you really about to leave on a vacation?
Yep, right here in Arkansas to enjoy our great state parks.
Why aren't you getting your gear together?
Because we rent it in the state parks. Instant vacation. No hassles before we go and none after we get back.
Really? rent?
Yep, the state parks have ski boats, party barges, fishing boats, kayaks, canoes. They even have RVs and tents already set up, plus the cabins and more.
RVs?
Just go to ArkansasStateParks.com. It's all there.
Instant vacation sounds like a perfect vacation.
Yeah, it will be if you mow my lawn while I'm gone.
Well, sure.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
Wife told me to get a hobby. My doctor told me to exercise. I listened to me. Grow flowers, vegetables, and in my own way, keep an Arkansas beautiful.
For every ton of paper we recycle, we save 17 trees. I really like trees. Recycling helps keep Arkansas beautiful. A message from the station.
The Arkansas Broadcasters Association and Keep Arkansas Beautiful.
You know, Maya, you're really good in the sciences, and you're good with people also. Have you ever considered being a doctor?
Maybe just a little bit. My aunt was a surgeon.
Ah, surgery is an option. But did you know that family doctors are going to be leading healthcare in the future?
Arkansas needs family doctors. Family doctors see a variety of patients and conditions, focusing on prevention that saves lives. Family medicine, leading the healthcare team.
A message from this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association and UAMS.
Welcome back to the Village Celebration Podcast. Maybe you recognize that music. It is from Empire, one of the most popular shows on television now. And if you're a fan of Empire, you know they are tackling a big issue, mental health. Leah Walker, the mother of the central figure, Lucius, is staying with him, and she's still struggling with her mental health issues. Joining us now is psychotherapist Sierra Coleman. Sierra, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Vicki, for having me. How are you?
I'm doing well. I think a number of viewers may be surprised at how much Empire is delving into mental health, but it's a great platform to take a look at an issue we don't often discuss in the African-American community. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's a great opportunity for us to increase the dialogue about mental health, particularly in this community. So I'm excited about it. I didn't view the episode from last night, but I am excited that we are really getting more comfortable with talking about mental health on such a show that is reaching out to all different age groups. So I'm really excited about that.
So if Empire is a launching pad for a discussion, how would a family initiate such a dialogue if they felt it was needed in their circle?
Usually, the first thing is the symptoms or noticing that your family member is off or acting a little differently. It's a really uncomfortable conversation to be had, but what I would suggest is to make sure that it comes from a place of concern at first, mm-hmm. to just say, well, I've been noticing some changes in your behavior. I've noticed that maybe the way you manage things is a little differently. Like, mm-hmm. do you think that it would be okay if I went with you to possibly go talk to somebody? Because oftentimes, people who struggle with mental illness are not aware of their symptoms right off, and it's the collateral people, meaning the family, that is the first people that can identify those things. So I would definitely start off with like a conversation like that and asking, can we go speak with someone to get assessed possibly?
When someone comes into your office, how does that initial consultation usually play out?
Well, so I work in outpatient and inpatient. So inpatient, which is in the hospital, usually they come two ways. You come because you come to the emergency room and you are exhibiting some symptoms, or you express some symptoms to the nurses in the ER, and then you come to the inpatient, and then we assess you. Now, if you come into outpatient, usually you call in and you can say, hey, I'm looking for a therapist. And when you come in, the first initial session is just about what's going on. Why are you here? And that's a very basic, like getting symptoms, getting a little history. We don't really do any treatment the first day.
Have you seen an increase in the numbers of African Americans seeking treatment?
Well, absolutely. Particularly in the younger community, I think from like the millennials particularly, they're a little bit more open to mental health and digesting it. So over the last couple years, absolutely, because nationally we've gotten more aggressive with honing in our message about mental health and delving into the science. So over the last couple years, yeah, it's been a definite increase of African Americans getting a little bit more comfortable with even discussing it.
So how have you and your colleagues tweaked the message over the past few years?
So the first thing is, particularly when I was in school, was recruiting African American students that's in the field. Because a lot of times in this type of environment, people are usually comfortable with seeking a therapist that looks like them.
Sure.
Because there's multiple dynamics to mental illness. So from that perspective, it was recruiting the students that were minorities. And then what with us, then what they did was, you know, encouraged us to advocate for our community via research, via policy writing, and via just having conversations with friends and family. So that's kind of how we took on that. So me, now that I've graduated, what I do now is I do most of my research in that area of disparities in mental health, and we do like a lot of awareness.
I'm curious why it seems our community has a reputation for being reluctant to seek help with mental illness.
There's multiple factors. I really, really want to hone in on the first thing, which I think is most pertinent. It's our religious factor. Mm-hmm. Our community, we've been conditioned to go, well, we'll leave it at the hands of God, or we'll leave it at the Lord, or we'll leave it at the altar. But still finding that, yes, faith and spirituality is very, very important, but that doesn't mean that I can't go seek a therapist to talk about my issue. So I think definitely that's the first issue. The second thing is the ability to access, because we are quite expensive to see. And if I don't have insurance, I can't afford to come see a therapist. And so then the third issue, particularly in metropolitan areas like Chicago, is the access to an actual clinic or a therapist. So even having a person that will even see you in your neighborhood is non-existent depending on where you live. Mm-hmm. So those first three are the most important. And then fourth is the education. People are just not comfortable with it because they don't know about it. And then it's the stigma is a huge issue, because being crazy mm-hmm. is something that people don't want to be labeled next to. I'm crazy. I'm uncomfortable with talking about that. Crazy is an incorrect term. But it's the stigma, and that's outside of the Black community. That's period. Mm-hmm. That's a national issue that we have about mental illness.
Thank you so much for joining us. Really good insights into this issue of mental illness, and we'll see what happens next week on Empire and how that show continues to deal with such a sensitive issue. Sierra Coleman, psychotherapist from Chicago.
All right. Thank you. Have a good night.
And we will be right back to take a look at urban myths and controversies. Abraham Lincoln, was he black or white? We'll talk with Brian Rogers, who is an African-American historian. Stay with us.
I'll never forget
that. As long as I live.
My first call up ever as a member of the National Guard.
When we got to the armory, they briefed us on the wildfires. They were getting dangerously close to homes.
Helicopters were going out to drop water on the fires.
Guys in the unit were preparing for firefighting with local fire crews.
At that moment, I got my first taste of just how important the Guard is to my community.
See how the Guard can be an important part of your life at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arkansas National Guard. Aired by the Arkansas Broadcasters Association and this station.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
A storage tank.
tank ruptured, and for miles, chemicals were pushing up against the riverbanks.
This was a big, big deal, and it was going to have a serious impact on communities up and down the river.
I remember the moment this local guy came up to me and said, they call the guard out for this stuff?
You probably thought we were all about hurricanes, tornadoes, fighting Mother Nature.
Hey, it's a chemical spill. It's a disaster.
It affects the water supply, threatens wildlife.
We're talking about the health of entire communities and people's livelihoods.
You bet we're ready for these kinds of things.
We were out there with booms to prevent the spill from expanding.
We're responsible for protecting and monitoring the sensitive wetlands.
I also remember the moment that same guy came up to me and said, I don't know what we would have done if they hadn't called the guard up.
Learn more about how you can protect your friends, families, neighbors, and the environment. Everything that makes up your community. Go to NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arkansas National Guard. Aired by the Arkansas Broadcasters Association and this station.
Okay, you guys, it's time to plan our vacation.
Okay, Mommy.
Okay. This summer, we're going to play in our own backyard.
We're staying home? No way.
In our yard? Really?
No, we're going to play in Arkansas's backyard this summer. We're going to visit our state parks.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, count me in. I'll have less driving to do and more time to fish and golf. Swim, relax.
Uh-huh. So come here. Gather around. We're going to plan our vacation together.
For real?
Awesome.
Here we go. ArkansasStateParks.com. Ta-da! There, we're at the Arkansas State Parks website.
Ooh, look, I want to go there.
I want to do that.
Me too.
Just look at all there is to do. You know, playing in our own backyard in our state parks this summer is a great idea. Less travel time and more time for fun.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks.
Making vacation memories.
Gather around, children, listen. Let me tell you a story about a village that is built with his glory. No sorrow in this place. Just lift your voice and say.
You're listening to the Village Celebration Podcast. So glad you are with us. Brian Rogers is still with us to talk about urban legends, controversies, as they relate to African American history. And Brian, one of those that you pointed out is this talk that Abraham Lincoln was an African American man.
Yeah,
where does that originate?
I think that the proliferation of these things now, these myths, these legends, these conspiracy theories, has a lot to do with social media. They're easy to spread on social media. So somebody posts that Abraham Lincoln was a black man and the government doesn't want you to know, and before long it's viral. Well, the problem is, again, as I mentioned earlier, it's just people not doing research. So during his presidential campaign, one of his opponents produced a satirical brochure where he called Abraham Lincoln Africanus Lincoln, making light of the fact that Abraham Lincoln was thought to be pro-black or pro-slave. And so 100 years later, 150 years later, this, again, satirical brochure shows up and somebody assumes that it's true that Abraham Lincoln was a black man, and the government has been hiding it all these years because they don't want black people to know that there were great African Americans prior to the 21st century or the 20th century. And there were great African Americans prior to the 20th and 21st century, but Abraham Lincoln was not one of them.
That's very interesting. And so... When we fixate on these examples of misinformation, we ultimately damage our history.
We do. We do. And in the study of history, it's called heroification, where we...
Oh, I didn't know that. Heroification.
Where we take someone like Abraham Lincoln and we erase from the collective memory all of the bad things about him, and we only remember all of these wonderful stories. Like, there's a story that is told about Abraham Lincoln, about he was riding in a carriage and he was having a conversation with his fellow rider about man, the nature of man. Do we do things because we're good, or do we do everything because we're selfish? And so the story goes is that they came up on a pig, and her piglets were stuck in a ditch, and they were screaming, the piglets were screaming, and Abraham Lincoln jumped out of the carriage and he rescued the piglets. And the man, when he got back in the carriage, the co-passenger said, "Well, you did that because you're a good person." And Abraham Lincoln said, "No, I did that because I wanted those pigs to stop screaming. I couldn't take the noise anymore." Mm-hmm. And so it's things like that we forget or we erase from the collective memory, and we only remember the good things, that Abraham Lincoln freed the slaves and Abraham Lincoln did this and he did that. When in actuality, it was the 13th Amendment that freed the slaves. Abraham Lincoln, you know, he wrote the Emancipation Proclamation, but it only freed the slaves in the states that were in open rebellion. And so in 1865, the state of Arkansas had already been subdued. The fall of Little Rock happened in September of 1863. So in actuality, the slaves in Arkansas were already freed.
Well, you know, I am a fan of Abraham Lincoln's. Whatever his motivation for signing the Emancipation Proclamation, whether it was to save the Union, which history clearly outlines it was.
Yes.
He was not known as an abolitionist. He still signed the Emancipation Proclamation.
Right.
And so I give him his props for signing the Emancipation Proclamation. And if nothing else, it may have put the ball in motion. To that point, the Jackie Robinson story that is airing on PBS or has aired, it credits Jackie Robinson with baseball starting the civil rights movement, because he was the first African American baseball player to cross the color barrier. And so the rest of the country, some historians say, then jumped on the coattails in terms of opening the doors. So I do think that the people who have played their parts deserve the credit for it. Whatever the motivation was, to your point about the piglets, whether he wanted the piglets to stop screaming or he was a good guy, I think it set the wheels in motion. And that does take us to Juneteenth, which is not so far away.
Right. Here in the state of Arkansas, the Congress or the House of Representatives passed a law, I think it was in 2005, that the third Saturday in June would be known as Juneteenth. However, while doing a little research this morning, I found out that the celebration of Juneteenth in Arkansas is a relatively new thing.
Is it?
As I mentioned, Little Rock fell from Confederate control in September of 1863, and from that point on, until the mid-1940s, the black community of Arkansas celebrated Emancipation Day, which was January 1. So around the state, I've read newspaper reports of Emancipation Day celebrations. They would go to church. There would be a guest speaker who would present, and then someone would read the Emancipation Proclamation. They'd be singing. The pastor would deliver a message, and then they'd eat and have parades and activities. There were actually recorded parades up and down 9th Street, West 9th Street. So that has been a big part of our community in Little Rock since prior to the Civil War. There was actually an African-American community in that area as far back as 1845.
Wow. So that's impressive.
So Emancipation Day kind of morphed into the celebration of Juneteenth, which was a Texas holiday.
Right.
And they were celebrating the arrival of one of the Union generals into Galveston, which happened on June 19th, 1865.
And what great news did he bring
Texas? He brought incredible news because the state of Texas was actually still in open rebellion as late as the 1865. And so after the Emancipation Proclamation was signed in 1863, you know, the slaves in Texas still had no idea that they had been freed by President Lincoln.
Why didn't somebody just send a text?
Yeah,
or Facebook. Right. I mean, come on, Snapchat, something.
Yeah, something like that. And you know, historians speculate that there had been several messages sent, but the messengers were either captured or died along the way. And so they never got the message to them. It actually took the Union Army arriving in Galveston for the message to make it to Galveston.
Now, that is fascinating in terms of explaining that gap between 1963 and 1965.
Right.
It's like, oh my gosh, you all can come in from the plantation. You don't have to do that anymore.
Right, right. And it's amazing that even after the slaves were, or as Mr. Kinsey would say, the enslaved people were freed, some of them remained on the plantation because it's the only life they knew. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There were some who left and there were some who stayed because some were just afraid to take that step out.
And can you imagine the courage it must have taken for those who did leave the plantation, everything they had known?
Everything that they had known. And the force that was driving some to leave is that they were looking for loved ones. Mm-hmm. Those had been sold and separated. They were looking for them, and which is how some people speculate that the holiday made it to Louisiana and Arkansas and Oklahoma, is because the formerly enslaved people who were leaving Texas looking for their loved ones brought the celebration with them.
That is really poignant to me, that many who left the plantation and the life they had known for so long to face the unknown were motivated by love.
Yeah, it was love. And it's an amazing thing that they would step out on faith because of love, mm-hmm. and go into a world that they had never known.
Mm-hmm. Looking for
those that were gone, that had been sold away, that had been taken away, who had run away. They were looking for those loved ones. And that goes to dispel the myth that family wasn't important to the slaves. Mm-hmm. There's this myth that runs rampant throughout, that the slaves weren't that concerned about family, but family was all that they had. And so it was very important to them, mm-hmm. that they found those loved ones. There are Freedmen Bureau records that record slaves or former slaves going to the Freedmen Bureau claiming that this white person took their children and they want them back. Families being separated in the 1870s and parents saying...
After the end of the war,
after the Emancipation Proclamation, after the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments were passed, that white landowners would claim that these children signed contracts to work, and so they would not let them leave the farm or the plantation because they claimed they were under contract. And so the parents would go to the Freedmen Bureau and say, he took my children, mm-hmm. and I want them back.
Was the Bureau able to help in any way?
In some cases, they were. Mm-hmm. The records are now digitized, and so they're easily accessible online. As a matter of fact, I'm reading through a case that I may have mentioned to you before about a man named Jerry Saunders and his fight against S.R. Cockrell, who was a former Confederate colonel, and they were fighting over $25 that Jerry Saunders said that Cockrell owed him because he destroyed his house that he had built.
Would love to hear much more about it. So you have to come back and talk with us closer to Juneteenth as well. So much good information. And I'm simply stunned by the anguish they must have felt.
Yeah, it's
in those months and years afterwards, and to still have loved ones taken from them. But we'll talk about it more as we get closer to Juneteenth and come back and tell us about the plans at Mosaic Templars Cultural Center.
I certainly will.
Brian Rogers, always a joy.
Thank you.
To have you. Back in a moment on the Village Celebration Podcast. When we return, a look at what may be a brokered Democratic convention. And the guy everyone said was just a joke in the Republican Party is now the presumptive nominee. Stay with us.
Time to plan our vacation.
Okay, Mommy.
Okay.
This summer, we're going to play in our own backyard.
We're staying home? No way.
In our yard? Really?
No, we're going to play in Arkansas's backyard this summer. We're going to visit our state parks.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh, count me in. I'll have less driving to do and more time to fish and golf, swim, relax.
Uh-huh. So come here. Gather around. We're going to plan our vacation together.
For real?
Awesome.
Here we go. ArkansasStateParks.com. Ta-da! There, we're at the Arkansas State Parks website.
Ooh, look, I want to go there.
I want to do that.
Me too.
Just look at all there is to do. You know, playing in our own backyard in our state parks this summer is a great idea. Less travel time and more time for fun.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks.
Making vacation memories.
I'd like to take 30 seconds to give pickup drivers a brief lesson in rollover physics. It has to do with the vehicle's static stability factor, which is defined as one half the truck width divided by the height of the center of gravity. The larger the factor, the more lateral acceleration required to cause the force of gravity to pass through a vehicle's pivot point. In layman's terms, pickups are twice as likely to roll over than cars. Unfortunately, we can't change the laws of physics, but we can change your odds of survival. Buckle up in your truck. Sponsored by the Arkansas Highway Safety Office, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and this station.
My daughter made me this cute bottle with a little water in it. Until I can quit smoking, I can stop flicking cigarette butts and put them in here when I drive. They're litter, plain and simple. This is my way to help keep Arkansas beautiful.
For every ton of paper we recycle, we save 17 trees. I really like trees. Recycling helps keep Arkansas beautiful.
A message from the station.
The Arkansas Broadcasters Association
and Keep Arkansas Beautiful.
You're listening to the Village Celebration podcast. We turn our attention now to politics. What an election season it has been. On the Republican side, they started with 17 candidates, and they are now down to their presumptive nominee, Donald Trump. Joining us now from Washington, D.C., Village contributor Mundell Robinson. Mundell, I watched one of the morning shows today, and they played clip after clip of Republican notables saying, Donald Trump will never be the nominee. Donald Trump will never be the nominee. And here we are in May, and Donald Trump is the presumptive nominee. What happened?
So Donald Trump, to me, is the full-grown nastiness that has been the Republican Party since the policies of benign neglect. So this is not a new phenomenon. There's nothing new about Donald Trump's position or his stance. If you look at the policies pushed forward by Republicans, Donald Trump is just putting a voice to it. He's not using political terms to say exactly what they've been doing, what they've been legislating. So none of them should be surprised that Donald Trump is their nominee. The problem, however, is none of them can control Donald Trump, which frightens all of them.
And it frightens, I think, a lot of other Americans. In fact, Hillary Clinton on the Democratic side is saying he is dangerous. But before the former Secretary of State can focus on Donald Trump, she and Bernie Sanders have unfinished business. So the Democrats have a little more tension than they may have anticipated as well.
Well, I think actually this is a good time. I don't really think it's tension. I think it's the media hypes it as tension. It's actually pretty good, and it's good that Bernie stays in the race for a couple reasons. One, it gives the Democratic Party time to catch up on the free news cycle and the news spin that Donald Trump has had since he's been in the election. I mean, since he's announced that he was running. So if you look at the amount of time that the media gave Donald Trump, I mean, I think it was like 9 hours of free coverage for him. And the closest person to him is Hillary Clinton. I think she's at 5 or 6 hours. So the fact that Donald Trump has nobody to run against now, he should get less coverage. And while the Democrats are still going back and forth, I think it's good. Besides, Hillary Clinton is not being harmed by Bernie Sanders being in the race. Actually, he needs about 487% of the remaining delegates to be the party's nominee. So it is as sure that Donald Trump is a Republican nominee that Hillary Clinton is a Democratic nominee.
that may be true, but Bernie Sanders still in the race does not allow her to focus her attention fully on Donald Trump. And then there's the question of how will she convince Sanders supporters to throw their weight behind her, and will he play ball with her?
Well, so and even if he does not, I mean, you there will be those, just like when she ran against President Obama in 2008, there will be those that will not support her regardless. But for the most part, I mean, people that want to take part, people that are obligated to take part in the democratic process by voting in November, they're going to have to vote for Hillary Clinton if they support Bernie Sanders. Because if not Hillary, then who? Donald Trump? That's logically not a connection there. So, I mean, and then we also must be reminded that she too stayed in the race until June when she was going against President Obama. So, I mean, it's not a bad thing. I don't think it is. I think what happens is if we start the general election before the party have its conventions, it's kind of a win-lose for both parties. So I appreciate the fact that the Democrats Bernie's going to stay in for as long as he does, because, like I said, it gives the Democrats time to continue to talk about message, and people get to hear less of the noise that we call the Republican Party and more of issues that are plaguing folks.
All right. Mondale Robinson, our Village contributor and political consultant from the nation's capital. Thank you for joining us.
Indeed.
When we come back, our Village doctor, Dr. Diane Marshall, talks about the Zika virus. She has an update for us, so make sure you stay with us.
You're really good in the sciences, and you're good with people also. Have you ever considered being a doctor?
Maybe just a little bit. My aunt was a surgeon.
Ah, surgery is an option. But did you know that family doctors are going to be leading healthcare in the future?
Arkansas needs family doctors. Family doctors see a variety of patients and conditions, focusing on prevention that saves lives. Family medicine, leading the healthcare team.
A message from this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association and UAMS.
From the Ozark Mountains to Old Man River, Arkansas's 52 state parks belong to all of us to experience, to enjoy, to remember.
Our family stayed in the Mountain Lodge at Pettigene for the holiday, and no one had to cook. We ate in the lodge. Oh, the view over the canyon. Oh, and those huge fireplaces. Oh, the chocolate pies.
I remember going to the lodge on the Gray Lake. The park naturalist took us out on a boat, but we'd never seen an eagle in the wild before, and we saw five that day.
The cabin at Devil's Den when it snowed. We went hiking. It was so beautiful. And then we found that journal in the cabin, and we sat by the fire and read stories that the other guests had written. I'll never forget that.
The State Parks of Arkansas. Call 1-888-AT-PARKS for a free guidebook or visit ArkansasStateParks.com. Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks. My park, your park, our parks.
I remember the moment.
I remember the moment.
I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
The house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Because I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
Be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arkansas National Guard. Aired by the Arkansas Broadcasters Association and this station.
Welcome back to the Village Celebration Podcast. Joining us now is Dr. Diane Marshall, our Village doctor, to tell us more about the Zika virus. Dr. Di, this is not just a passing concern medically.
No, and no, it's not, Vicki. You know, they're very concerned about the Zika virus because they're beginning to see so many birth defects. Mm. And I think the biggest problem with the Zika virus is really not knowing that you're infected, be it men or be it women.
Mm-hmm. How would you find out if you're infected?
Well, you can be tested, but the biggest thing is that if you've traveled outside of the country to one of the known areas, and the CDC constantly updates their website on the Zika virus. So if you think you have traveled outside of the U.S. and you've been to, let's say, the Brazil or Caribbean, South America, and you have symptoms, fever, rash, joint pain, you probably want to get tested for the virus. Now, in a lot of people, you're going to be asymptomatic. Mm-hmm. And so that's the issue. So mm-hmm. the CDC did update its guidelines for women who want to conceive and said that if you want to conceive, then you should probably wait a certain period of time before trying to conceive if you've traveled to one of those areas. And that's men and women, mm-hmm. not just the women.
What about concerns in the United States? What states are doctors focusing on in terms of the mosquitoes that carry the Zika virus?
I don't think that we have any particular states in mind. I know that there was that reported case in Texas, but the concern is whether or not U.S. travelers have traveled to one of the countries known to have the Zika virus and whether or not they bring it back because they don't know that they have it. They don't express symptoms. That's the biggest concern.
And the birth defects, you say they're seeing so many of them. What are some of the more noticeable ones?
Some of the more noticeable birth defects include a small brain. We call that microcephaly. Mm-hmm. Also, some kids are being born with defects in their eyes, mm-hmm. Hearing defect, impaired growth. But the biggest one is the small brain, because that can be a crippling problem, not just in infancy, but if that child grows or survives infancy.
The coming months are of particular concern because of warm weather and standing water. So what are your recommendations for those listening?
Biggest recommendation is to avoid standing water if at all possible. When you're outside, make sure you're putting on insect repellent. And you want to put that on your clothes, not necessarily on your skin, and certainly apply sunscreen. The other thing is to wear protective clothing if you're in wooded areas, if you're outside mowing, so that mosquitoes don't bite you. And one of the other things to prevent is condom use in men who've had this travel. Wear a condom. We definitely know that the Zika virus can be transmitted via semen, and that is either with regular sex or oral sex, so condom use.
The mosquitoes, the Zika virus, and during warm weather, Lyme disease, pesky they are, but they can also create some serious health problems, mosquitoes.
Absolutely. Absolutely they can. So the biggest thing is prevention, prevention, prevention. And if you travel to these areas, get with your doctor to make sure that you are not infected.
Dr. Diane Marshall joining us in the Village. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome.
Back in a moment.
To give pickup drivers a brief lesson in rollover physics. It has to do with the vehicle's static stability factor, which is defined as one half the truck width divided by the height of the center of gravity. The larger the factor, the more lateral acceleration required to cause the force of gravity to pass through a vehicle's pivot point. In layman's terms, pickups are twice as likely to roll over than cars. Unfortunately, we can't change the laws of physics, but we can change your odds of survival. Buckle up in your truck.
Sponsored by the Arkansas Highway Safety Office, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and this station.
I remember the moment. I'll never forget that moment.
As long as I live.
As long as I live.
Several of us were working to rescue a family.
The house collapsed on top of the cellar door and trapped them.
We had to use Humvees and heavy machinery to move massive trees and debris.
We got them out.
We helped a lot of people out.
It felt good to know I could really make a difference.
Because I'm a citizen soldier in the National Guard.
Be there the moment your community needs you. Learn more at NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Arkansas National Guard. Aired by the Arkansas Broadcasters Association and this station.
No, I can't believe that.
Nice.
I hit it perfect.
You're just standing too close to the ball. After you hit it.
Hey, you had one in the rough, two in the trees.
We're keeping score?
Yeah.
Maybe a new course would lower your handicap. Mm. Arkansas State Parks has two golf courses.
Yeah?
We should play them.
Tell me more.
The Gray Lake Resort's golf course is perfect for us. 18 holes overlooking the lake, and the wives will enjoy DeGray's Island Lodge.
Sweet.
Yeah, then we'll play the ridges at Village Creek.
Village Creek State Park has a course?
Yeah, here it's outstanding. 27 holes, Andy Dye design,
wow.
PGA caliber championship layout, and dramatic elevation changes since it's on Crowley's Ridge.
Wow.
And the girls will enjoy the cabins.
How do we get on these courses?
Well, they're in our state park, so they're public courses.
Yeah.
ArkansasStateParks.com has details and photos.
Now let's finish this round and book a tee time.
Oh, yeah.
Sponsored by this station, the Arkansas Broadcasters Association, and your Arkansas State Parks.
We're back for the final moments of the Village Celebration podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Always glad to have you in the Village. This weekend is Mother's Day. So have you shopped yet? Have you put your cards in the mail? Are you cooking on Sunday? What are your plans for that very special woman, that very special lady who brought you into this world? And if your mom is not with you, what are your plans? Special memories, of course. Yesterday, it was announced that Tupac's mom had passed. Of course, he's been gone a number of years, but he left us with a song that is quite a tribute to moms. That's how we wrap up tonight's Village Celebration podcast. I'm Vicki Newton. Happy Mother's Day to my mom.
Spending from school, I'm scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Shed tears with my baby sister. Over the years, we was poor than other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hell, hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whooping to my backside. And even as a crack fiend, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. Dear mama,
please, no one above you.
You all appreciate it.
Don't you know we love you?
Now ain't nobody tell us it was fair. No love for my daddy, cause the coward wasn't there. He passed away.
You got it.